Okay, so we're getting 3 weeks, not consecutive because of family day, so 3 weeks with a break in the middle, on what we called, I think, the gourmet Shabbos, and gourmet foods on Shabbos, the sushi, I don't know, at this point it's a requirement of every day of the week, but the first topic is sushi and rice paper wraps on Shabbos. So in our Beit Midrash the last few months we've been learning Hilchos Shabbos. So we figured we'd tackle some of the new-ish or next week is very new halachic shailas that come up on Shabbos with regards to food. So the story behind the two foods that we'll talk about tonight, the sushi. So I get the daily email from the OU. I don't know if anyone else gets it. It's a nice email, like daily halacha. Whatever, they started after Belsky passed away, Lezecher Nishmaso. And a few weeks ago, a few months ago, they had the email that Rebelsky felt, and for reasons we'll see, that making sushi on Shabbos is probably Aser Midaraisa. It's actually one of the malachos. And then my in-laws were at a kiddush, where they had a guy making sushi, right? So I said, under okay, what? Under the COR. So I emailed Ray Heber, who's always very helpful, to get the COR policy. And as you'll see, the sources look longer than they are, but really from, you can see, once we get to the third page, right, I emailed basically everybody. So I got I got the OU's policy, I got the Starcase policy, I got the CRS policy, I got the Five Towns Vod policy, I got Rav Dov Lior, David Lau, Chief Rabbi of Israel, right? We got a whole collection. I did my research, I got the policies. So what we want to do is explore that. The second question, sushi, rice paper wraps, which I've only recently started seeing. You've definitely seen it, because down here I see it a lot. It's like those little hors d'oeuvres with like that whitish translucent paper-y thing that goes around, like, you know, thin vegetables cut up, like little...
You get it provided, it's much harder.
Very fancy stuff. Basically, it's Michelle's house, you know, like, at the Grunbaums, they have this. And I've seen it, like, dinners in the area. But someone stopped me in the street a few weeks ago on Shabbos and said, I'm having extra guests that I thought. I'm afraid I don't have enough food. Can I make rice paper wraps? And held up a package to me in the middle of the street. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm looking at, but I will get back to you. So now I have gotten back to her with at least the beginnings of an answer. So that's what I want to talk about. Okay, so sushi. What issues could there be in sushi? So,
raw fish.
Well, before we get to the raw fish. Okay, so there are many issues with sushi. What issues could there be with making sushi specifically on Shabbos? So the first issue, let's say you wake up Shabbos morning, you want to make sushi, and you haven't prepared anything. Okay, the rice. You better prepare the rice. You know, I can't let you cook the rice. I figured I didn't need to tell you can't cook on Shabbos. Next week we'll get into cooking on Shabbos. But I didn't need to tell you, fine. But the rice is cooked. Right, whatever, you have a store of it, so you can always make sushi in a moment's notice. So now you want to make sushi. So the first halachic issue you got to deal with is if you totally didn't plan, so now you're going to have to cut the either vegetables or the fish. Now that is going to, right off the bat, get you into the malacha of toche, the malacha of grinding. And because grinding, generally, is the problem of taking something big and making it small. Now, the question of what are the parameters of that, well, that's what we've got to figure out. So let's start with vegetables, because vegetables is going to be the primary issue in terms of this malacha. So the Gemara tells you as follows, number one, Amar Papa, Haiman Defarim Silka Chayev Mishum Tochein. If you grind up, beets, so then you're liable for having ground. And Amar of Menashe, Haiman de Solis Silse, which Rashi says, eats him dakim lahafir kash. And it's not only true of food, you can be liable for grinding even if it's not a food substance. So if you grind up wood as well into small pieces of wood that are going to be kindle wood, right, that you can use for a fire, chayav mishum tochen, that would also be liable. And Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way, number two, that hamechatech yerek dak dak. If you cut vegetables very thin, chayim mishum tochin. So then you're liable for grinding. The Rama says, "V'huadin lasu lachto grogeres v'charuvim lefnei zgenim." You also can't cut these dates very thin and carobs in front of elderly people. V'davka peros v'chadoma laze aser. But the malacha only applies to fruits, vegetables, and the like. But not things which had already been processed. So bread, right? Bread obviously was made of something which was ground up and now been reconstituted into an organic whole. Tochen is on a natural whole. So bread, if you want to make bread crumbs on Shabbos, that's mutter. You want to, right? Here he's saying for chickens, but whatever. You want to make breadcrumbs? Go ahead. Make breadcrumbs. You can do that. Because it's already been ground before. Because once you've had tochen once, you can't have it again. Or, as many of the Achronim say, this isn't really in tochen achar tochen. It's just the tochen is only on a natural hole and not on a reconstituted one. And then the Rama introduces a possibility that the only time it is prohibited to grind something is if it is for storage, but if it's going to be for immediate use, it'll be permitted. Let's hold on to that thought, and we'll come back to it in a minute. So, the basic malach of tochen is grinding something up. How small is small? Right? Shulchan Aruch describes it, dak, dak, very thin. So how thin is thin? So here's the problem. Right? The problem, as the Be'er Halacha notes in number 3, Zaval b'chatichos gdolos k'tzas ein derech t'china. He said, if it's big, what's clear from Shulchan Aruch is that's not called grinding. Akol zeh le'inyon chiyuv. That's only the biblical prohibition of le'inyon. Isser liyesh lizar me'od b'zeh. But in terms of what I would tell you not to do, we should be very careful. D'kfar kosev b'sefer yireim l'hareim, d'shir dakuson lo nado lanu. The problem is, how thin is thin? Nobody knows how thin is thin. So even though you probably aren't going to be chayav misa, you're probably not going to be liable for having cut something, unless it's really small, we don't know how much that is. So unless it's pretty big, we tell you to avoid it. V'chein machm v'es Yosef, d'zarech l'inin heter, ishlandesh yasach haticha gedolos, b'miktas v'gami samach l'su'uda. And therefore what he suggests is, if you want to cut something up into small pieces, make it into relatively large pieces, and do it near the meal. Again, for reasons we'll see, because the Rama had said that tochen is more lenient when you get close to the meal. But the first problem is, we don't know how small is. Now, if you've ever made sushi, are the vegetables that you cut for sushi small?
Not as small as a really salad.
Well, there's two points in time. Because first you use the strips. Then you cut it into the...
Right, so when you're making the roll, but the key is you're making a strip. Is a strip considered small or large?
Not too small. It's bigger than what you'd have for a salad, that's for sure.
It's bigger. So
this is a machlokes motion for Shlomo Zalman Orbach, because does small require three-dimensional small or two-dimensional small? Right? Meaning is a strip considered big? Right, a long strip for a sushi roll, right? It could be several inches long. It's pretty big, but it's very, very, very thin, mm-hmm. Right? So is that tochen, or is tochen only when you cut it three-dimensionally into small pieces? So that's machlokes for Shmuel Zalman and Reb Moshe. We look at number 4. Shamati me'agon Shmuel Zalman Orbach zatzal sharamban b'melchamos perak beis gimel debetsa kasav demavake eitzim b'kubitz chayv skila mishum tochen. So he says, well, what's the case? The Gemara had talked about cutting wood. So he said, if you cut wood with a hatchet, you'd be chayiv. So the first thing you see is that it seems like even if they're not so thin, you're liable. So the first thing that Rosh Hashanah Zalman says is that tochen is defined as cutting something to the point which it is now functional. Lefize tzarach lomar detayma shemuter, or has a new function really. Lefize tzarach lomar detayma shemuter lachtoch b'shabas peros urakos gidolim lachatichos ktanos ruuyam yad la'achila. So he said, why is it therefore that you're allowed to cut up fruits and vegetables into smaller pieces? Because so the reason that large pieces are permitted, right? Or relatively large pieces are permitted, is because you still need to chew them. Right? Tochin is when they're so small that you barely need to chew them. You don't need to chew them at all. That's his chiddush. And wood, once you make it into thin pieces, so now it's already good for the fire. But then he says, but if you were to cut them very thin, and they're long and thin, you would be liable. Right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman's position is that since the notion of tochein is to change its function, get it ready for the next stage, and when things are long and thin, you've moved it on in the process. Even though they're not cut very, very small, you've moved it on in the process, and therefore he thinks long and thin is usser. Rav Moshe Feinstein argues, and number five, he says, "Aim iser tchina birakot udavka kishachotech dak dak beorech uberochav ketchinat kemach." Right, is grinding only when I cut it three-dimensionally into pieces, like grinding flour. Or even when I do it only, right, in one dimension, or whatever. The way you do with carrots or cucumbers, right, you cut it into strips. I don't know who does those tomatoes. I guess he means slices. I guess slices tomatoes? I'm not really sure. What? No, cubes would be three-dimensional. He says two-dimensional. Right? Carrots, people do it all the time, right? But maybe tomatoes. Maybe he means. I guess he just means slices, right? Peppers, you would do it, right? Agvania. I don't know what he. I guess he means slices. I'm not really sure. But he says chuvel finis daiti pashut shirak lasus bekanim lasias chilsa veitochem lasias mikana achas shtaim oshalosh. Shakavana d'shtaim oshalosh levi ovi akana shvishem mimena lasus tzarach achilsa shetzarach bedakus mishum tzarach tina kazeh shayach sham. So he says, I think, right, that it has to be, right, two, three times. Like you have to cut it in multiple directions, right? That's the way you normally do things, like when you're grinding. He said, obviously, this is true, because otherwise, what if it weren't for Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, you wouldn't be able to cut a loaf of bread. You can't cut a fruit into three or four pieces. What?
Not fair to bring bread in.
Well, I know. He said even, right, he's hedging there. But he says even like a fruit.
Because Brady said, like we said, you could.
Correct. So he's like, is the only reasoning tochen achar tochen? But then he says, it's like a fruit, right? Meaning you take an apple, you cut it into three or four pieces, that's fine. Right? He's saying tochen means, right, cutting into, you cut it in multiple directions into tiny little pieces, long strips, that is going to be permitted. Okay, fine. So, first question, halachically, is if you haven't made anything, can you cut the vegetables long and thin? Moshe says, yes. Shlomo Zalman would say, no.
If you're not going to eat it right away.
Heter 2 is the Rambam. So the halacha is as follows. In the context of Borer, the Gemara says explicitly that in order to be liable, biblically, you need it to be lotzar. It needs to be for storage. But if you do it immediately, right, so Borer is mutter if you get three things, right? If you do it by hand, you do it immediately, right? And you take the good from the bad and not the bad from the good, right? Then separating is fine. The Rashba, and this is what the Rama quotes, says that it's true of many, if not all, of the malachos achila. Not all, but many of the malachos achila, if you do them immediately before the meal, so then it's permitted. And that's the Rama paskins. According to that, even if you were going to cut it thin, as long as you do it right before the meal, it would be permitted. But there's a few problems with that. One is it's not clearly paskin that way. The Rama paskins that way, but if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, number 6, he tells you that v'yesh mefak ben al heter zeh, right? Many people are hesitant about this psak, but gam beis Yosef, because of shav mishem echavin lachol miyad, gam kein yizar lachto chatichot gdolos ktas. And beis Yosef says he's only willing to allow you to be lenient if you combine two heterim, meaning if you cut it not so small, and if you do it immediately before the meal. So and that's what he suggests. So therefore, even if you want to rely on this, it wouldn't allow you to cut it as small as you normally would, but maybe you want to make it a less fine sushi, right? You want to cut thicker pieces and do it right before the meal, so then maybe that would be permitted. How close to the meal is right before, right? This is one of those, all of Hilchos Shabbos is like this, right? Right before the meal. How much is right before? So here I just gave you a few different positions in Achronim from 7 to 11 here. Mishneh Brura says, Al kol panim aser lasos ad yitzias beis hakneses v'inan samach l'suda mamish. So the Mishneh Brura says, immediately has to be, he doesn't tell you exactly when, but it has to be after you leave shul. Right? That's how immediate it is, right? So you leave shul, whatever time davening finishes, 11:30, right? That's when you can start preparing, right? It can't be that your wife stays home and starts preparing at 9 o'clock, right? 3 hours, 3.5 hours before you're going to have lunch. You can't do that. And that's the position of the Mishneh Brura. Rav Moshe Sternbach in 8 says, V'inei she'ele zot mamesh shal agon v'tzadek r'ilozer dushnitzer l'rabbeinu ha'chazonish zatzal. So this was asked to the Chazonish. V'heishiv lo de'en shum heter gam l'anashim harbe l'atchil v'nei chatzi sha'ah kodem v'roi l'achshosh l'sir Torah. Chazonish said half an hour. Right, it has to be within half an hour. Now, this is problematic, right? Because if it's just your family, you want to make sushi, so maybe you can make the sushi you're going to have within half an hour of the beginning of the meal, have a first course or something, right? Or maybe you think half an hour of the meal, fine. But if you're having a lot of guests, this is very complicated. So does samuch change if you're having 100 people, right? Meaning, is it relative? Is it how much time do you need for the number of people you have?
Also, I have kids at home, so if I have kids that would eat it, do I have to?
Oh, they're going to eat it now. That'd be fine. No.
My sooner? Or
could no. If they would, right? Presumably, they want to make it for them now. That would be fine.
That'd be fine.
Right? Right. I mean, they want to. If they're going to have,
they can have a piece and then.
Right. I mean, let's say that they, you know, they'll have whatever they're going to eat for their kiddush and whatever, you know, if they, you know, estimate wrong, whatever it is. Right? Or, I mean, to be fair, you don't have to do that, right? Because once you've cut the strip, right, you know, it's the same piece, so presumably be fine at that point. That would presumably be fine. So Rav Moshe Sternbach quotes the Chazon Ish saying half an hour. And that's what the Rav Binyamin Zilber says as well, that it's half an hour, number 9. The Rav Moshe Feinstein, though, says no. It's a relative. It's relative. Number 10. It's when do you normally start preparing for the meal, right? When you start normally preparing for the meal, that is when it's permitted. Before that, it's aser, right? So you can't do it in the morning and then go to shul, right? It would have to be, right? Because that's, right, that's already, there's a gap, right? When do you start getting ready for the meal, right? Putting, you know, getting the salads out of the table, whatever you're doing, that's when you're allowed to do it. And then Rav Moshe Sternbach in 11 notes that the Chazon Ish and the Mishneh Brura had a machlokes. What happens if you have 100 people at your meal? Right? Is it a relative time? Is it a short amount of time or the minimum amount of time necessary for the number of people you're having at your meal? Right? So he says, this is a machlokes, Chazon Ish and Mishneh Brura. She says, Yesh harbe levor leklof lesuda kmo b'yeshiva gdola l'sheva brachos. Right? If it's a yeshiva or it's sheva brachos or something like that, imuter bazel l'haskel zman rav kodem kevan shenimshach lesuda lok. Are you allowed to start way in advance? V'nirish afilum nakel b'davar. So he said, it's a machlokes, but even if you're going to be makil, but even if you want to be makil, the thing which might be usher has to be the last thing you prepare, right? Because you can't say, right, I'll make the sushi and then I'll set the table, right? No, it has to be, it still has to be as close to possible as the meal, even if you want to be makil. So there's all these different shitot. Again, if you wanted to solve this problem, so you'd say, according to Moshe, it's not a problem because it's long a thing. According to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, make it a little bit thicker than normal, and then do it samuch lasuda, however you define it, right? And that would be how you would cut up the vegetables. What if it's fish sushi? So then you are saved. You can have fried fish is easier because in number 12, Shulchan Aruch tells you that mutter lachtoch basar mevushalot sli dak dak besakin, that the prohibition doesn't apply to things which are not gedulei karka. It doesn't apply to meat or fish, right? So if you want fish sushi or you want meat sushi, which is a thing, right? I've discovered this now because I was at a wedding a few months ago, right? They had like uber fancy, right? The sushi was like I don't know what it was, but it was like, it was meat, they had meat pizzas and meat sushis and meat every, it was very, very fancy. So that, you want to do that, fine. And the Mishnah Berurah tells you, why? Because grinding is only a problem with plants, and even though in some circumstances animal life is considered dule karka, in this context it's not, and that's what he, and that's the issue. Okay, that's for grinding. But the truth is, 90% of the time you get the shayla, this has nothing to do with it, because the vegetables are ground before, right, are cut before, right, you have a box, right? You don't want to be patchking around with the vegetables, they're cut up, the rice is made, you just want to roll it. So while we may be able to solve the tochen problem, now we get to the next problem. Okay, what problem could there be? Right? Once we get past the tochen problem, what halachic problems could there be making sushi? What do you think?
Is there an issue of like completing something?
Right, so makom patish, right? Completing something, that's possibility one.
The tightness of the roll also?
And therefore would be what?
I just feel like it's a problem.
You're right, and that's what we're going to get to. The answer is, that is the problem, and the reason Rosh Weiss and Rav Belsky both think it's Asher Midarais is because they think it's bone. It's building. We'll see why that could be the case in a minute. The third one, which Rav Asher Weiss will raise and then reject, is Tofer, right? Because when you pack it at the end, don't worry, he rejects it, but this is what is brought in the discussion, okay? Those are the malachos that are in play if the vegetables and the rice is already before. Okay, so Rav Asher Weiss, number 14. He was asked, Imuter laso sushi b'Shabbos, right? Can you make sushi? So he said, Av she'ein daiti mufleket v'nyan zelim finas daiti yesh l'hachmer l'anami kachva ver tami. I'm not totally sure, but I think it's usher. Let me explain why. So first we're going to talk about what it's not, okay? Hine, l'chara yesh l'adun b'zem yishum shalosh malachos. There are three potential problems. Bone, tofer, u'makav epatish. Right, building, stitching or sewing, and completing an act. Now, let me start with makav patish, what I finished with. This you think it isn't. Why? So, he says, the Gemara in Shabbos, Amru b'mishnah kol sheba b'chamin me'er Shabbos, shor noso b'chamin b'Shabbos. Anything that has already been cooked before Shabbos can be reheated. And most things can be rinsed in hot water, right? Except for certain types of salted fish, that pouring hot water on them is the gmar malacha, is the end of their malacha. What does that mean? So this is something which is cooked very easily. Right, it's basically because sort of like kali habishul, right? It's something that gets cooked very quickly, and simply pouring on hot water is going to make it edible. So the Gemara says that's aser. What does it mean when it says it's forbidden because it's gmar malachtan? So rov harishonim pershu dechavana mishum malachas mevashel. Most of the rishonim say it's cooking, because something which is easily cooked, even though the act would not normally cook it, right? Pouring a little hot water shouldn't cook it. If it's something that, in fact, gets cooked with a little bit of water, so then it's aser. Ach yesh min haposkim sheperesh devei chazal kepashtus lishonam, dachein isra mishum gmar malachtan. But some poskim felt it was makav epatish. Dainu makav epatish, ayin sham bilavush, primagadim. Mishnah Berurah nakat leikar demachol ein malechas makav epatish. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that there is no makav epatish by food. Kmo shematzino dein ibud bochlan, just like there's no tanning by food, vein svia bochlen, and there's no problem coloring food, v'chein legable melechas makav epatish. Amnam, now, as he notes, the Mishnah Berurah is mekil, but many poskim are machmir and say there is makav epatish by food. But he said, still, amnam nira pashu, daf ledasa machmirim, ein zelo mashalohai rayu la'achila, metakna machshiro la'achila. In order for it to be makav epatish, you have to be making it edible. Da'avale king gmar malacha, v'yeshmo makav epatish, because then you're actually doing something. Like this easily cooked fish, which were inedible because of their salt content until you poured on that hot water. And by rinsing them off, so maybe you make them edible by getting rid of the salt. By sushi, you're just attaching a bunch of things, and therefore it's not makom patish, it's fine. Mishum kach ein lachshos meleches makom patish. The second possibility, stitching, right, sewing. He says, okay, I mean, this I'll just summarize outside. He said, it's not. It's not sewing. And he said, right, he assumes the reason this is true is because there really isn't tefira by food, because sewing is only asur if it's meant to last. This isn't meant to last, right? You make it, you eat it, we're done, right? And he said, besides, you're not really attaching it, right? It's just like a little bit of moisture and a little bit of stickiness in the right, a little bit of starch, right? That's not enough for it to be, right? You can unroll it very easily. It's not significant enough, and therefore he says, that's not the problem. What is the problem? Bone. Why bone? How is it building? Right? Why is making a sushi roll building? I remember the first time I said this to someone, right? When I was learning the sugi, he just looked at me incredulously. I get that, but this is where it comes from. The Gemara in Shabbos, number 15, tells you that Tana Rabbanan, Hacholev, Vamachabetz, Vamagaben, Kegogeretz, if you milk, you make butter, you make, right, cheese, you're chayev. Why? Now, the Gemara then gets into Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar says it is Dirabanan, it's Daraisa, the Chum says Dirabanan. Why? So the Gemara at the end, after the ellipse, it says, Megaben, chayev, mishum, boneh. And making cheese, you're liable for bone. Why does that make sense? Right? Why does it make sense that making cheese is bone? So, in order to understand that, you need to understand a different issue in bone. The Gemara says in several places, in Shabbos and Beitza and other places, that there's a halacha called Ein Binyan Bekelim. Right? That making that once you have vessels, there's no bone. So what happens if you make a new vessel, right? You actually build a new kli. Is that asur on Shabbos? So the answer is yes, it's obviously asur on Shabbos, but why is it asur? So Rashi says it's asur because of makom patish. If you make a new kli, you make a cup, you make a bowl on Shabbos, it's makom patish because you made something new. But it's not bona. Bona only is by buildings, right? You need to build, right, in the ground, in a building, that's it. But Rov Rishonim think it's not true. Rov Rishonim say that when we say there's no binyan by kelim, that's only by things that are... Tosfos says only things which you don't have to screw in tightly, but if you're screwing it in tightly, it's bona. Or the way the Chochmei Svart say it, like the Rajba in 16, they say no. Binyan bekelim, there's no binyan bekelim if it's reassembly. Reassembly is permitted on Shabbos. But making something new, what they call not bone bekelim, but use kelim, right? Making something new.
Like making the mold.
Right, making a full kli from start to end, right, from start to finish, that is bone. That's the Rajba, right? The Rajba says this in 16. He said, "V'yesh mafarshim the chi amina amrin an ein binyan ustira bekelim hani mili bekliish nit barek." Right? We only say there's no problem with binyan bekelim by something that fell apart and you're reassembling it. Kagon menorah shel chuliot, like a right snap together a lamp. Ukedisharu beisil is gofin a menorah biyom tov. Aval lasas kli lechad chila, but to make a new vessel ein lecha binyan gadol mizeh. Obviously, that's building. The Ein Zeh Nikra Binyan Bekelim, Sharei Eino Kli, Ela Oseh Kli. Right? It's not called assembly, it's called creating. V'zeh Nichali HaDarminan La'el Perakam Atzinin. He said that is why the Megaben Chayv Mishum Bona, that making cheese is Bona. V'im Ein Binyan Bekelim Heyech Efshar Sheyesh Binyan Be'ochlen. If there's no building by vessels, how could there be building by food? When you make something from scratch and you make something new, which is what you do with cheese, you take the curds and the whey and whatever and you make it into something new, so that's bone, and that's why making cheese is bone. The Rambam in 17 tells you, imgavno, if you make cheese, vaseu gvina chai mishum bona. Why? Shekola mekabetz chelek el chelek vidavak hakola chiyasu guf echad hareze dome libinyon. Every time you assemble things, you attach pieces to each other until they become one entity, that's similar to bona. And therefore it is a tolada of bona, meaning it's daraisa, it's not the av, but it is a daraisa of bona. Now, the Rambam seems to think that making cheese is de'oraisa, but as we saw in the Gemara, that seems to be machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. The Chachamim seem to hold the Rabbanan. The Aruch HaShulchan notes that in 18, that the Yeshom Zil Rak Midir Rabbanan, that many Rishonim hold that assembly by foods is only Rabbanan. Ve'ezeh Dimyonu Megabin Labonim Shnei Shekol Mekabitz Chelek El Chelek Va'akol Achias Guvechad Reza told us Bonim. So the Rambam thinks that making cheese, right, assembling cheese is the Oraisa. The Aruch HaShulchan notes that many Rishonim think it's Asur, but it's only Midir Rabbanan. And the Evan Azil, based on this Rambam in 19, sets his principle out that any time you assemble different things and you attach them to each other, right, that is bone. Whether it's food, whether it's kalim, it doesn't matter. So therefore, you see this principle that assembling, putting pieces together and attaching them together into something new is bona, even by food, either on a biblical level or on a rabbinical level, either derites according to Rambam or derabbanan according to many other Rishonim. There is, however, another position, and that is the position of the Magen Avraham. So in 20, Shulchan Aruch says as follows, HaMekabetz Dveila V'asim Menu Igul, if you take dates, right, figs rather, right, so they used to have, and now it's become, right, it's in vogue again, right? There was an article in the New York Times about that. This is the new in food, are like date and fig bars, right? Not like fig Newtons, but like you just take dates and figs and you press them together until they make this mush, right? And you eat it, right? It's very sweet, very high calories, high energy, but all natural sugars. That's dveila. So Shulchan Aruch says that if you do that, or you collect right, figs and you put them on a rope and attach them together, it's a talada of ma'amer, of collecting, right? Of collecting produce in the field. So the Magen Avraham says, why is it ma'amer? Why don't you say that it's bona? Right? How is putting, stuffing dates together into a date pie, right, a date block, any different than cheese, where you push the curds together to make cheese? So if you look at the bolded part, he says, "V'tzarach lomar delo mikri bona, ela kishem echaven liaposo lashvoso." Magen Avraham says, simple assembly of foods is not going to be asur mishum bona. Only if you mean to make it in a nice shape. Right? So when you stick the dates together, you don't care how it comes out. Cheese, he thinks you're only chayev if you make it into a nice block. You're making it, right, look. You're making it look nice. The chayadim paskin is this way. And he says, afil b'dover ma'achal shayach binyan gugon magabe gvinah v'chayotzebo v'lav dafka gvinah. And then in 23, he explains to you that it is only bona if you do two things, which it, right, it says avakol panim vur barambam debinyan nigvinu b'neishem mechabra chalakim yachad. Then right, making cheese is also because you're putting the pieces together. Imkein artenach shaose gvina mashmeus a leval tmuna agul o aruch debazer shayach binyan. Right, you need two things: a nice shape and assembly of pieces. Right, then it is going to be bona, according to Rambam d'Oraisa, according to many Rishonim, d'Rabbanan. So now, Rav Asher Weiss, right, looks at sushi, and he says, well, what are you doing in sushi? Right? So he said, well, you're doing two things. You're pushing pieces together, right? The rice is sticky rice, right? And you put the vegetables in, and you put the and you put the seaweed, and you, right, tightly push them together until they become, right, it's not sushi salad, right? Sushi salad, you just take all the ingredients and you pile them on top of each other. That's fine, right? That's totally fine. But here you're doing it and it's meant to look good. It's a roll, right? It's artistically done in the middle, then you can, so that you can cut it into pieces so that it looks nice. It's the Chai Adam's bona. It's both factors. It's meant to look aesthetically nice and it is meant to combine pieces into a new whole. And therefore, he says, okay, so I'll skip 24. 24 is not about sushi. This was an earlier tshuva, not a tshuva. This is an article he wrote in Shabbos where he argues that a similar case would be making a layer cake, Right? A layer cake would be also on Shabbos, right? Where you take a, what?
Oh, if you have the
right, you already have the cake, right? And then you cut it, right? You cut a slice and you put cream on top. And you cut a slice and you put cream on top and you make it a 7-layer cake. It says that's exactly megabe, right? It's exactly the same thing. Chelek al chelek, to make it artistically nice. So he says that's Aser. But in 25, he, right? Look, I gave it to you. I don't have to read it inside. But he says, since you want two things, you're connecting pieces, and you can see the bolded stuff. He's making a davar chadash. You're making something new, meaning sushi. Therefore, it is Aser. And he basically takes the Magen Avraham and the Chai Adam. Now, you look four lines from the bottom. He says, I'm not kidding, five lines actually from the bottom. He says, look, Ulufiza ain't a chreach mashechilka Magen Avraham. He said, I'm not convinced the Magen Avraham is correct, right? I'm not convinced he's right. But at the end of the day, that's why I paskin, right? I don't have a choice. He said, I'm not convinced that their analysis in the sugya is correct. But if we paskin the Magen Avraham, the Chai Adam, then sushi would be aser. And he says, "Oh, the gamba sushi, don't mad the varktzat megabein. Vein gan kibbutz v'chibur bilvad el machal chadash v'shem chadash." And he said, "At some level, it is similar to cheese because you're connecting things and you're making something new." He says, "Abchol zechoch chani v'shem kein chan chibur gabor." He says, "On the other hand, I understand why you would challenge me, which is cheese actually makes a new hole, right? You can't like disassemble cheese once it's made. It's made sushi." You can unroll it. You can take off the rice. Right? It's a bit difficult, but it's not a new unit in the way cheese is. So he said, I'm not 100% sure. And therefore he says, Ach mikom vakom, the last line, L'chore dom adam megabein. It's similar, I'm not sure. Mishum kol zeh nir d'roi l'achmir l'imana mi'atzias sushi b'shabbos. Therefore, he hedges. He said, I'm not 100% sure. Right? It might be that this isn't as connected as cheese, and therefore he's not 100% sure that you're chayv misa. Right, there's this, Rabbi Yashiv has this great line in one of his pieces about cooking, right? He says, it's definitely usur to do such and such, meaning I'm convinced that it's usur enough that I would tell you not to do it, but come ask me again before you give someone skila. Right, that's his formulation. So he says, I'm not sure. We'll see next week in Suvi that Rav Asher Weiss tells you there also his principle is that whenever he's not sure on Shabbos by fancy foods, he always paskins l'chorma because it's a big deal, so you won't have sushi on Shabbos. What's the big deal? Right? It's a chashis or doraisa. It's not worth the fancy food. That's his position. Unless he's convinced it's mutter, he'll always be otzer. That's what he tells you his shita is. So he thinks it's doraisa. And if you look at 26, this was the OU's Halacha Yomis email on February 12, 2016. So I guess I didn't see it recently. I saw it recently, but it didn't actually come out. Is it permissible to make sushi on Shabbos? Is it muktza? So Shulchan Aruch writes that unsalted raw fish is muktza because it serves no purpose on Shabbos. However, in our days, if one has cuts of raw fish that are edible as sushi, then they're not muktza. So he says, maybe you think it's mukta because raw fish is normally mukta. So that's obviously wrong, because raw fish is only mukta because people used to not eat raw fish. If you eat raw fish, it's not mukta. Fine. However, Belsky questioned whether one may make sushi on Shabbos, because the Chai Adam writes that the malacha of bona applies to food as well, and that attaching foods together to produce a desired picture or a shape is included in this prohibition. Since shaping sushi might be included in the prohibition, Rebelsky recommended that one should not make sushi on Shabbos with the intent of making a specific design or pattern, meaning don't make sushi. Right? He said it's d'oraisa.
He said not to make a specific designer pattern.
Well, I mean, that's what sushi is. But we'll see his position clearer in just a minute. We're going to come back to his position in just 15 seconds. So both Rav Asher Weiss and Rebelsky are choshesh that it's an Isser D'oraisa. Now, how did this whole thing come about? Who was the first person to ask the Shaila? So as far as I can tell, the first person to ask the Shaila was Rabbi Ari Zatz. Rabbi Ari Zatz is teaches in YU, he's a rabbi in Teaneck, he's our first cousin by marriage, his brother. I know Toronto people are good at figuring this out, but that's how we're sort of related, Toronto related. So I was listening to a shiur where he said, how did this come about? He wrote an article in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, And then he sent his article to Rasha Weiss, and Rasha Weiss responded with a tshuva, and that's how we got the tshuva. Okay. So we skip to 28 for a minute. He basically sets up what we already said, right, that according to Rashba, it's, you could argue that it's a new, it's a new separate food, maybe, but then he says, but what's the difference between, right, the main question, second paragraph, is what difference is there between salad, sandwiches, wraps, in the case of sushi? So he said the primary differences seem to be, A, intending to build a precise or attractive product, should be product, and B, whether the separate parts have truly been confined into a larger unit. In the case of a salad, sandwich, or wrap, generally speaking, one's intention is not to make either a very precise product or to design it in a very attractive way. Certainly the presentation of food is an important aspect of the culinary experience, but it does not seem to involve the same concern for precise beauty as sushi does. Furthermore, even if one is concerned with the precise aesthetic appeal of a salad, sandwich, or wrap, these items do not seem to reach the same level of being bound into one unit as does sushi, right? So this is his argument. The reason, right, because you could have just countered, why is this different than a sandwich, which is obviously mutter? He said, because it makes a more organic unit. Then he gives you a practical difference, right? The basic practical difference is as follows. A sandwich, if you want it to all come with you when you eat, right, you better pick it up from the bottom, right? You pick up the top, the middle will fall off, right? Will fall down. By sushi, right, once it's sushi, you just pick it up, right? You see that at some level it is a new object. However, he suggests that if this is the case, there might be a difference between a layperson making sushi, which isn't so nice and isn't so, you know, sort of falls apart, and professional sushi, which that's what he suggested. Okay, so we saw the Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Belsky are machmir. So why might it be mutter? So I gave you in 29 and 30 that both Rav Dov Lior and Rav David Lau both think it's mutter. Right, Rav Dov Lior is a prominent posek in the religious Zionist community. Rav David Lau is chief rabbi of Israel. Rav Dov Lior says, "Im kol mashir tzichim lasod hu galgel al adag ba'orez en kan shum ba'ya." Kshem shemut lachin salat l'arbev b'tzel b'gvina. Right, he says, "I don't see this." Right, rolling vegetables and rice is like making a salad. He doesn't buy that this is making a new entity. He says, "Nah, it's mutter." Rav Dov Lior. Rav David Lau says, "L'chora mechaven shekol shenotar rak gil gulam yachad." All that's left, if you want to make sushi, is to roll it up. Kol faruchan merosh lo tzricha liod baya. There is no problem, and this is the position I gave you. I just noted it for you in 33 that I emailed the Star K. And Ramosha Heinemann's position is that making sushi on Shabbos is mutter, and therefore in the Star K they are mekil lechatchila. However, both the OU and the Five Towns VOD follow the OU on this, and the COR have a middle position, and they hedge a bit here. And here's the two hedging we got, okay? So Ray Heber told me that Ray Miller, number 31, said it's mutter al yidei achim. If the sushi guy making the sushi is not Jewish. What?
Harder to do
in Israel, for sure. And he says, why? Look at 31. This is his email to me. He said, "I believe the main reason is because it doesn't become one like cheese. It falls apart easily." Meaning, right, I followed up with him. I said, is it mutter because, right, Rabbi Zatz, in 32, I note this for you, in his footnote says that, we noted before, that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, right, for the Rambam, making cheese is daraisa. But for Rov Rishonim, it might be derabanan. And the halacha is that under certain circumstances, amir l'nachri, on a derabanan, l'tzorach mitzvah, is mutter. So he says that if you think it's only derabanan, so then having a non-Jew do it might be mutter. If you think that having it for your Shabbos meal is enough of a mitzvah, so maybe be mutter. So Rabbi Heber told me that's not why Rabbi Miller is mekil. He thinks the reason is because he doesn't really think it's usher at all. He thinks that this isn't like cheese, right? Like Rav Dov Lior, right? Rav David Lau, he thinks it's just rolling. So why does he require a guy to hedge, right? Because worse comes to worse, it's a derabanan. He's not willing to risk the daraisa, so he wouldn't let a Jew do it. But if a non-Jew does it, what's the worst that'll happen at the end of the day? It'll be an iser derabanan of amir l'nachri. And therefore, the COR's official policy is you're allowed to have sushi made at a simcha if, right, a sushi stand at a simcha on Shabbos, if the guy making the sushi is not Jewish.
But he's also getting on the other side that even if it is putting it to, even if it is bonus, and if you hold it as bonus derabanan,
Correct. But so I asked him, which one does he want? So that's why I asked Rehaber, which one is it?
Yeah.
Right? No. Arizat's notes, right? Arizat's notes in his footnote that if you hold a Gerach HaShulchan, you could think it's Vaday Bona and still come up with a Heter, right? You'd say it's Bona Derabanan, Al Yidei Amir L'Nachrei might be Mutter. But Rai Miller doesn't think that. Rai Miller just thinks it's probably Mutter, but I'll hedge. Right? I won't have a Jew do it just in case, but fine. That's a bit of a middle position. The OU's position is even more complicated to figure out. This is 27. This is what I got. I emailed the Weber Rebbe, right? That's the OU's Ask the Rabbi. This is what they sent me. The Chai Adam writes, this is 27. The Chai Adam writes the Isser Bona can apply to foods. If one sticks together foods to make shapes, right, so Rebelsky Zatzal was not sure if sushi was included in this. Therefore, he would not say that it's usher to have a non-Jew make sushi, but he was against the idea of sushi stations. He held it was wrong, and he told us to advise caterers that it was not lechatchila to ask a non-Jew to make sushi on Shabbos, but he would not stop a caterer if they insisted.
I'm pretty sure you had it here on Shabbos.
Yeah.
No, I told you, that's the CRS policy, is that to allow a guy to do it. The OU's policy is to discourage, right, the OU's policy. So the COR, star K is Meka Lechatchila. The COR is Meka Lechatchila Yidei Goy, because Miller thinks it's probably Mutter, but he hedges and says have a Goy do it. The OU and the Five Towns Vav, their policy is discourage the caterer, but if you can't discourage him, then you should have a non-Jew do it. And then they asked Rebelsky why having a non-Jew make sushi is worse than letting children play with Lego, which the minhag is to allow. And he says the difference is that children play for themselves, but one is asking the non-Jew to do it for you. So this is a shayla of Amir la'akum. Okay, that's the position. So we get three positions, however you want to look at it. Star K, based like Rav David Lau, Rav Dov Lior. This is not Megabain, it's Mutter. What?
What's Lego?
Because Lego, according to some posts, might be Bona, and therefore we allow kids to do it because they're doing it for themselves. What?
We don't do it as adults.
So that's how many posts can sort of hedge. Oh. Not everyone posts can say. Some people think it's Mutter Lachatchila. He's just saying that according to the people who think that Bona might be us, or why do we let kids do it, but you wouldn't allow a Goy to make sushi? Because the Goy is doing it for you, the kids are doing it for themselves, and they're both not Chayv and Shabbos yet.
Sushi stations doesn't really mean anything here, right?
What?
He says he discourages sushi stations.
He means having someone make sushi for you. Yeah, that's all he means. So, lahalacha, what do you get? Again, the star case, David Lau, Rav Dov Lior, say, making sushi is not bona, right? It's not one unit, it's mutter, period, end of story. The Rav Asher Weiss says, it's probably asher midaraisa, asher, don't do it, right? The COR and the OU both have these middle positions, right? Right, Miller, and the COR's policy is that it's probably mutter, but we hedge and therefore have a guy do it. The OU's policy in the Five Towns Vod is to discourage it, but if you can't discourage it, then to allow a Yidei Goy. Which is, okay, I don't know where all the policies come from, but that's what they told me. I copied it to you. Couldn't challenge me. That's what they said. Fine. In 34, I just note that Rai Leibowitz quotes that he asked both Rai Willig and Rai Schechter, and they both felt it was Asher Midrabanan. But Ray Willig was not willing to be makil, because this is very Ray Willig, right? He said, what is this OU's policy that it's mutter if it's a shasatrak? He's like, there's no such thing as a shasatrak. You need sushi. Like, he just doesn't understand it. So he says, maybe it's usher midrabanan, but there's no such thing as a pressure. You need sushi. You don't need sushi. So he says it's usher. Okay, fine. Kachu pasak. Last 8 minutes we have. Fine. What about rice paper wrap? So again, what is a rice paper wrap? So, it's this. Rice paper is basically this starchy paper. It's usually made of rice, maybe tapioca flour. It's made in Vietnam, usually. It's made into a circle. When it's fresh, it's soft. It's very thin, soft. You can eat it, you can dip it, you can wrap it, whatever. To ship it, they dry it out. And it's brittle, right? It'll break if you touch it. So what you have to do is you have to soak it. When you soak it, it becomes soft and translucent, and then you can wrap like vegetables. And you make like fancy vegetable wraps with it. So in terms of cutting the vegetables, we've dealt with that. That was the tochen issue. What potential issue would there be by rice paper? So potential issue by rice paper is what we mentioned before is makom patush ba'ochlin, right? Because you're taking something which is unusable, right? And you're making it usable. So is that a problem? So very quickly, is there such a thing as makom patush ba'ochlin? So the Yerushalmi in number 35 says absolutely yes. right? There is, right? It has a discussion there of processing garlic and goes through different stages and says at the end, Gmar malach mishom makav patish. So Shalmi paskins that it is. What about the Bavli? So we actually saw this in Rav Asher Weiss. But the Gemara in 36 tells you that if you have fish which is salted and unedible until you rinse it, so then rinsing it is Gmar Malachtan. So why is that true? So Rov Rishonim say what Rashi says in 37, that we're talking about rinsing this fish with hot water. And the issue here is Bishul, because it's something which is called Kalei HaBishul. It's easily cooked. And therefore, merely pouring on hot water is going to be usher because it's bishul. The Mordechai in 38 tells you that it is, that this is usher even with cold water because you're softening it. And zeu gmar malachto, which sounds like it is makav patish. How do we paskin? So the truth is, the simple read is you look at Shulchan Aruch in 39. Shulchan Aruch says, "Im hu davar yavesh on nisbashal mifnei Shabbos. If you have something dry which wasn't cooked before Shabbos, ein sharno so bechamin b'Shabbos. You aren't allowed to, you know, pour hot water on it on Shabbos. Aval madichem also bechamin b'Shabbos. You could merely rinse it with a, you can't soak it, but you could rinse it. Chutz min amaliach hayashan min adag shenikro kulios haaspan. And except for this fish, she'enem tzichan bishul elu me'at v'adar chasen u'gmar malachtan, which only needs a little bit of cooking, and therefore pouring hot water will finish the cooking and it's aser. So Shulchan Aruch says, why is it aser to pour water on this fish? Because of bishul. But the Ramah says, v'hu adin kol davar kasheh. Anything which is hard and is inedible without soaking, it's usher to soak on Shabbos because of Gemar Malacha. So what does it sound like? The Ramah paskins like the Mordechai, that softening something to make it edible is Makav Patish Bochel, and that's what it sounds like. And the Prima Gadim and the Levush, right, I won't read it inside now, the Prima Gadim and the Levush both say, yeah, we paskin, there's Makav Patish Bochel. Mishnah Brura in 41 says, no, it can't be, because Rov Rishonim think that the reason you're liable in the case of the fish is because of Bishul, not Makav Patish. But the problem is that the Bar Halacha is very, right? It's hard to paskin like the Bar Halacha for two reasons. One is, the Ramah seems to say explicitly, Yesh Makav Patish Ba'ochlin. And the second is, Lo Reinu Enaraya, meaning, you can't tell me that because in one case, which might be Bishul, might be Makav Patish, the Rishonim interpret it as if it were Makav Patish, as Bishul, then that means they'll never hold it's Makav Patish. That doesn't mean there's never Makav Patish. It might just mean that that case isn't Makav Patish. But the Ramah himself says that softening something to make it edible is Makav Patish Be'ochlin. That's what he says, or seems to say. And if you look at 42, and the, I'm just going to say it outside, but the Aruch HaShulchan paskins that way as well. He said this simple pshat in the Ramah is that yesh makav patish be'ochlin. And the truth is, the Vayan Yosef I gave you in 45 says that at some level this is logical, because we already spent the whole time talking about bone be'ochlin. If you can have bone be'ochlin, why shouldn't you have makav patish be'ochlin? I mean, why should, right, if food isn't excluded from building, why should it be excluded from makav patish? Additionally, there's two ways of understanding, even if you want to say that there's no makav patish ba'ochlin, there's two ways of saying that. One is to say that making something edible on Shabbos isn't makav patish. The second way of saying it is that food can't have makav patish done to it. But which of the, right, Shlomo Zalman notes these, or seems to say something like this in 43.
You're not calling it food when you started off with this brutal...
So, exactly. Now, why would I say that probably ein makav patish ba'ochlin, to the extent that it means anything, means that it's that making something edible isn't makav patish? Because if you look at 44, the Rambam says that giving trumos or maestros on Shabbos is metakein. Right, so the Minchas Chinuch and the Yom HaKalacha both point out that that means, the Rambam thinks, at least at a Derabbanan level, Right? Metaken mana is magapaj derabanan. But that means that he thinks that you can have makabadish on food. You'll tell me, ain't makabadish ba'ochlin. No, ain't makabadish ba'ochlin, meaning there's no makabadish to make something edible. But when I'm being mafresh trumos and maestros, I'm fixing it, not in edibility, I'm fixing it halachically, and therefore it looks like fixing. Meaning, just because something is food doesn't mean it can't be makabadish. So, my big suffix on rice paper, right, and I still don't have milchas nefesh on it, I'm not really sure, is on the one hand, right, making it soft and usable might be makav patish because we might paskin like the Ramah, as the Aruch HaShulchan understands it, that there's such a thing as makav patish ba'ochlin. Even if you paskin like the Mishnah Berurah, that ain't makav patish ba'ochlin, that only may mean that making something edible is not makav patish. But here, why are you softening it? Not to make it edible, it's edible. You can bite into it, it'll be fine. You're making it into a tool. You're making it usable to roll, right? So that might be different. It might be makav patish. I'm still misopic about this. I asked a bunch of people. I only got one answer. The one answer I did get, and that's in 46, was from Ray Miller. He answered my shaila in from Toronto number 1603, now my claim to fame, right? Is Rav Shlomo Miller says, no, it's mutter, for two reasons. And this, you know, again, I'm still asking around, but it's a compelling argument. He says as follows. It's mutter for two reasons. One is, the Mishnah Berurah says, ein makav patish ba'ochlin. Now he said, even though he recognizes that there are many poskim who argue on that, he said, this isn't makav patish for a different reason, and that's that it's reversible. Right? Because think about it. You made it soft, and then you let it dry out. And now you soak it to make it usable, but if you left it to dry, it would dry it again, and you'd do it again. And therefore, he says, if you're mitzarif both, namely, the Mishnah Berurah, that there's no makav patish by food, and two, this probably isn't makav patish because it's reversible, he thinks bigadol, softening it, right, soaking it and softening it to make it into roll is mutter because it's not going to be makav patish based on those two sniffim together, and that's what he writes here in 46. So, at the moment, the only person who's weighed in definitively on it that I could find was Ray Miller in response to me, and he said it was mutter. When I talked to one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, he told me he's still misupik about it and asked me to come back to him if I come up with anything. So it's over. This is all I have, but that's the potential issues, and at the moment it stands the only posek I know of who answered the question thought it was mutter. And again, according to Mishnah Berurah, it's vaday mutter, and with the edit sniff that it's reversible, that does seem to make it mutter. The only concern there is not quickly reversible. It takes about 3 days in the hot sun to really, really dry out. So yesh ladun, but that's where the issue stands as far as I know. Anyone listening who wants to give me other answers out there in the world of YU Torah, bisimcha, I'm waiting for more, but that's where it stands for now.